Blog Talk Radio.
All right. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Today's date, October 17th, 2011 AD. Beautiful Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. It's morning in America, friends. Wake up. Wake up to the fetid smell of Marxism taking over Main Street, intent on crushing Wall Street. Al Sharpton said, if you don't handle it in the suite, we're taking it to the streets. I tell you, I don't know what's going on with black folks and rhyming. It was, when I was a kid, it was up with hope, down with dope. Or was it down with dope and then up with hope? But now it's, if you don't pass Obama's bill in the suite, we'll do it in the streets. It's very catchy. Each person, each and every one of us understands that Al Sharpton will take any opportunity to co-opt an event such as the Occupy Wall Street deal. So when Al Sharpton gets involved, and whenever he gets involved, what you have is instant lack of credibility. The media are mistakenly characterizing the Occupy Wall Street movement as unemployed folks with legitimate gripes against Wall Street, consistent with the Tea Party, or as a ragtag group of unemployed stoners with no coherent message. Not to be taken too seriously at all. After spending hours interviewing protesters in Oakland, California, reporters were characterizing the protesters as off base, inept, a bunch of would-be hippies, people who had no idea what they were there for, why they were there, what the purpose was. They simply wanted something for nothing at all. And we've become, unfortunately, a nation of those who want something for nothing without having to work for it. You remember when we were kids, a lot of us, where we were taught a certain work ethic, that if we worked hard and we did our best, that we were bound to be successful. It was inevitable. And so it was. But now we have a new crop of a new generation who is all about getting something for nothing, for free. Not having to work for it. I recall as a younger man with my son Nicholas, who is now 23 years old, who will be 23 in just a few days, how when he played soccer, I was a soccer dad, each kid would get a trophy at the end of the soccer season, regardless of what the standings were, regardless of whether they won or lost. There was a soccer championship team, but they got the same trophy as my son's team, who went maybe 0-10 or 1-10. This is the generation we're raising, where there are those who are rewarded for doing absolutely nothing, or for not being successful, just participating. And so we have a group of individuals who are occupying Wall Street and other places who are simply participating. They're breathing. And because they're simply walking around breathing, they believe that they're owed something for that. Simply by existing, they're owed a living. By attending college classes, they shouldn't have to pay for those. There's even a movement in the, a clause in the Occupy Wall Street manifesto that all debts should be forgiven. All scholastic debts, that a living wage should be instituted so that regardless of whether or not you're employed, you make $20 an hour. And, of course, Jesse Jackson Jr. wants to employ every unemployed person and pay those unemployed people, those of us who are unemployed, $40,000 a year. Every unemployed, all 15 to 20 million people who are unemployed will be paid, according to Jesse Jackson, $40,000, some more, some less, he said. Putting the government in the business of employing people just so they'll have money. Does that mean socialism or Marxism or even worse, communism? A lot of his talk, a lot of his speech was taken out of to be a joke. Like, he's a clown. He's not very smart. He's talking crazy. You know, the usual liberal crazy talk. But he's dead serious. Dead serious. What happens if the government, let's just play along for just a minute. What happens if the government actually does employ 15 million people at somewhere around $40,000 a year? Not only would the Democrats have a permanent voting block, because those people would be beholden to the government for their livelihood, for the livelihood of their children, for roofs over their head, they would have no choice but to vote Democrat in order to keep the money coming. That's the first problem. The second problem would be, where is the money coming from? Tesla's in the house. 2020's here. Evil clown. Casanova, Frankenstein. All the guests I paid and cajoled and bribed to be here. Ned King, New, Miami Times, Tesla, Binary Prince. I am John Galt is in the house. And he's been Obama. Obama has made a move even further to embrace old WS, Occupy Wall Street. He's been supportive so far, but hasn't gone all in yet. But that may change as the White House appears ready to embrace the protests and the occupations around the country and indeed around the globe. It's a bad move. The protesters are about ready to issue their second list of demands. And Obama may wish he had stayed on the sideline after the hard left socialist plans for the economy become widely known. We had socialists out with the old WS crowd shouting, F the USA, F the USA, F the USA. Okay, if you're effing the USA, get out of town. Move along. Nobody is forcing you to live here. That sort of logic is lost on those kinds of folks. The White House continued its embrace of the Occupy Wall Street protest. And on Sunday, they used the strongest terms yet to identify President Obama with the growing movement. And also, in a call previewing Obama's upcoming bus tour, which is happening today in North Carolina and in Virginia, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said Obama will continue to acknowledge the frustration that he himself shares about Washington's laggard response to the financial crisis. Okay, here we go. This was a president, and I'll say it, I've said it 100 times, and I'll say it 100 times more, was supposed to bring the country together. Wasn't he supposed to be above all this? He was supposed to be like God. Wasn't that the way it was supposed to be? What happened? Was it all a lie? Was it all just a lie? Or worse, a ploy to get where he got? When you have a president, our commander-in-chief, who pits one segment of the country against the other, in my mind, that's call for impeachment. That's not only called for impeachment, that's called for him to be thrown out on his ass. Impeachment proceedings be damned. But hey, I'm not running things, and we do have a constitution, and I love it, and I'm ready to adhere to it. So according to the articles in the constitution, according to constitutional law, according to the constitution, Let's just impeach him and boot his ass up out of here. Because we cannot, as a country, survive with a president who continues to pit us against each other. The haves versus the have-nots. That's what we have going on here. Us versus them. The we-they syndrome. The we-they doctrine. Us against them. That's what it all boils down to. In the beginning, and I'm beginning to think that this is going to end badly for the Democrats. They either don't care about the radical strain that permeates the OWS movement, or they're unaware of it. There's also incipient anti-Americanism and anti-Semitism. It also doesn't help that both the communists and the Nazis have embraced the movement. There's a pretty dangerous brew of political trouble brewing once it becomes clear who the protesters are, and it makes Democrats an easy target for the GOP, who have far more ammunition than the Dems had about extremist Tea Party members. Think of it. A whole voting block, Jewish voters, middle-class folks, rich folks. Obama is alienating massive voting blocks. How does he think it's going to end? How is it going to end? It's going to end badly for this clown. And when you have people like Al Sharpton getting on board, it's a recipe for disaster. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
You can buy any of your heart. Mama Household.
Trick or treat!
Hey, how are you kids doing? I guess you want some candy.
Yeah!
But first, I think you'll agree, we need some fundamental fairness in candy distribution.
What?
We need to spread the candy around so that it's fair for everyone.
Okay.
See, it works like this. First, I'll take all of your candy and put it into my bag. And now you're a pirate, just like the people on Wall Street, who represent nothing but corporate greed. And you're a princess, and princesses are rich, right?
Right.
And rich folks got that way by oppressing others.
Huh?
So out of this whole bag of candy, I think both of you deserve 2 pieces each.
But that's not fair.
We've been walking around for hours.
Now, I never said there wouldn't be sacrifices. And don't you want to share your candy with the hobos and the clowns?
No.
No.
Why do you get to keep all our candy?
Because I represent the government. And I like Milk Duds. Happy Halloween.
But I'm not really a princess.
Come on, let's egg his house.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush and Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question, and Atlas shrugged, that the rest of us were asking 60 years later. Which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis, and which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless, and which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
you decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value, but you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion.
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
Okay, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. All right. There's a new poll out today. If the election were held today, Herman Cain would beat Obama 43-41%. That is striking because, as we've talked about just a few years ago, just a couple of years ago, Obama was unbeatable. He was unbeatable. They were done. Nobody could beat him. He was untouchable. He was godlike. He was FDR. He was Lincoln. He was Jesus Christ, all rolled into one dude. Now, Herman Cain from Georgia, businessman, radio talk show host, according to one poll, is beating Obama. Is it premature? Is it premature to suggest that President Obama, no matter what he does from here on out, is pretty much done? Green Bastard writes in the chat room. In the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio, don't blame the economy if you don't have a job. Blame yourself. Stop being jealous of everyone else's job. Well, Green Bastard is right. I love saying his name. But didn't we hear about this? There are those of us who are scholars of Ayn Rand's books, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. The movie came out. Unfortunately, the movie didn't do really great business, but it's a great adaptation of Atlas Shrugged. Imagine a writer writing about what's happening, current modern day events, day to day events that are occurring right here and now, in 1956, when she wrote Atlas Shrugged. Here we have a president, the president of the United States, who is openly inciting class warfare and violence and more. For example, Occupy Wall Street. You take Occupy Wall Street and Chicago, the 1968 riots. I was 6 years old at the time. Or seven, give or take. As the man said, as someone once said, those ignorant of their history are condemned to repeat it, or something along those lines. How much worse are those who deliberately ignore it? Deliberately ignoring their own record is a liberal specialty. The ideology could not exist without it. There's scarcely a major event of the last century that matches what liberal mythology has to say about it. The Depression, World War II, the Civil Rights Movement, the Cold War, they have suppressed, ignored and hidden the fact about each of these events and much, much more. Instead, they've constructed, or they're constructing, a glittering facade in which liberals are always right, always heroic, and always victorious. One episode they're ignoring today and practically ignoring, and it's an ignoble ignorance occurred from August 23 to 29, 1968, known as the Chicago Convention riots. The Chicago protest, or simply Chicago, a reference to the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. It comprised one of the key events of the 1960s. Some would go as far as to say that it marked the decade's climax. The Democrats met in Chicago, supposedly in 1968, under benevolent control of the Daley Klan, in order to nominate their presidential candidate. It had been a strange, hot, brutal season, and unsurpassed by the party's far left, led by, and it was an uprising, not an uprising of the party's far left, led by Senator Eugene McCarthy, who challenged the incumbent Lyndon Johnson on the anti-Vietnam War platform. What resulted ultimately was riots of epic proportions and a major daily crackdown. Now, so far, we've seen just a bit of violence. We haven't seen violence to the point where there have been, you know, the usual and ever so much fun German shepherds being turned loose, high-pressure water hoses, riot gear, and all those goodies. So far, it's all been very tame. But there's still time for things to really get out of hand. And don't think that it won't. We know it will. It's just a matter of time before things really get out of hand. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. So now we've got Al Sharpton involved. And Al is saying, if you don't pass the bill in the suites, we are taking it to the streets. Yes, that's exactly what he said. If you don't pass the bill in the suites, we're taking it to the streets. That's clever. I really wished I thought of it. How amazing. When you're president of the United States, do you think it's appropriate to take sides? Because, correct me if I'm wrong. You're president of the United States. You're supposed to be president of all the people, all of them, not just the few, not just the poor, not just the rich, but all Americans. One wonders whether or not this is all just part of a master plan. I'm a conspiracy theorist, just to a certain extent. Could this be what it's all about? Marxism, socialism. Obama says he's not a socialist. He says he's not a Marxist. He says he's not a, he's just a pragmatist. But Al Sharpton says something completely different. He is not going to stop until everything is equal in everybody's house. Take a listen. Because I think what you're about to hear pretty much says it all. Everything's got to be equal in everybody's house in order for us to survive. That is the way the Marxist, socialist, communist agitators want things to be in this country.
I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
And that any health care funding plan that is just.
All right, we're back. A little glitch in the system there. So we'll just let that one go for now. Let me just say this. America. The United States of America, this once great country, engaged in, at the time, was a noble experiment. It was well-meaning for Americans to get out, come out in droves, and vote for a black man to be president of the United States. It was all about hope. It was all about change. It was all about seeing America in a different way. Getting past race. Getting past our prejudices. No matter that the man we were electing, we knew very little about. Never mind that his ideologies were ignored. Never mind that he was a committed socialist, a committed Marxist, both. It didn't matter because we were electing hope. We were electing hope for a brighter day, a brighter future. What we got pretty much was the devil incarnate. We got a president who is seeking to disrupt the United States of America, to break it down and fundamentally transform the United States of America into something unrecognizable here for today. Let me tell you something. It's not unlike a Marine, a recruit, heading off to boot camp in San Diego or Parris Island in North Carolina. It's not unlike that. You break it down. You break it down. And then you rebuild it until you have the perfect warrior. Only in this case, the Obama and his crew want to break down the United States and make it into something that they would consider more perfect, a perfect country, a more perfect union, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you right here and now, if we don't get this guy out of office next year, America is pretty much doomed, and I don't like saying that. This guy is bad news. And I thank God that his poll numbers bear out the fact that a lot of Americans think the very same way. Now, we've got MSNBC News saying that if I say the truth, if I utter the truth, and the truth is that half the country doesn't pay taxes, then I'm somehow labeled a racist because I said that. I am a racist. What is racist about stating a mathematical fact? How could it be? But here we have it, MSNBC News saying race relations commentator Melissa Harris Perry explains that when Michelle Bachmann points out that only 53% of Americans pay federal taxes, and says we all need to pay, what that means to imply is that there is a whole group that is dependent, Harris Perry analyzed. Harris Perry says that 53% talk is just crossword for 2011 version of Welfare Queen. And that's exactly right. It is exactly right. If you do not pay taxes and you're demanding that those who do pay taxes pay more so you can get more for nothing, then you're a welfare queen. You are a parasite. You are what Ayn Rand called in her book, Atlas Shrugged, a looter. That's what you are. So hopefully we'll have the clip and it'll go all the way through this time. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. So take a listen to this person who somehow is equating the fact that there are those who don't pay taxes as being racist.
I'm Chris Hayes.
All right, that's clip number two. Okay. Oh, man, I love these last-minute glitches. That's what happens when you go in live. So here's the deal, folks. A CNN poll has just went out and stated that a record high number of Americans believe that President Obama's policies will fail. Yet, the president continues to go out and talk up his jobs bill, which is just a smokescreen because really all he wants is to get out and get some free publicity for his reelection bid. But the problem is, folks are not buying it anymore. I mean, you can only talk so much. You got to do something. I think the president of the United States has balls as big as church bells. Because he's pretty much going out on a limb. And he's just talking and talking and talking and talking, and nobody's listening anymore. The deal with this president is that he believes that the reason why his poll numbers are dropping is because he's not explaining his message clear enough. He's not using that teleprompter to get his point across appropriately. So now we have a president who's going out and telling Americans that we need to fight each other. We need to ramble and rumble against each other because there are those who have more than others, and that it's not fair. But here's the thing, folks. We knew it. We knew what we were getting. You knew what you were getting. The signs were all there. It was all over the place, but everybody ignored it. Just like with, dare I say it, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, and other dictators. The signs were there, but nobody paid attention because it was all about hope. And it was all about change. The president is leading those misguided folks on Wall Street and elsewhere down a path to destruction. These are not tough guys. I didn't see a tough guy in the crowd. There are no Navy SEALs hanging out protesting. There's no Dwayne the Rock Johnsons out there. There's no tough guys. When the you-know-what hits the fan, folks are going to be running. They're going to be running home to their mamas, game over. How many of them are going to be out there when the weather turns cold, when it's 5, 10 degrees outside? As soon as the weather breaks, they're going to be gone. Most of them. There'll be your diehard folks out there. Yeah, they'll be there. But for the most part, we're pretty much done. And the United States of America, this great country of ours, is suffering. It's suffering because our president is a moron. But what are we going to do about it? What can be done? Does anybody know? What can be done? I would really like to know if anybody has any ideas. Now, I have friends, so-called friends, who listen to this program, who say to me, hey, you know, why are you wasting your precious time talking about President Obama, saying such mean things about him? I listened to your show, and all you had was nasty things to say about President Obama. I didn't like George Bush, but I didn't take time out of my busy day to talk bad about him. I went about my business and enjoyed my life and had a good time. I wasn't worried about what President Bush was doing. Oh, yeah, that's a bunch of crap. You just didn't have a radio show, and you didn't have time to get out there and say things about it because you were doing other things. But people are – they want to skirt the issue. They don't even care. I asked one friend of mine, a good friend of mine, if she knew who Barney Frank was. I played the Barney Frank Banking Queen parody from Paul Shanklin for her in the car the other day. And I said to her, do you, you know Barney Frank, right? You know who he is. She had no idea. You don't know who Barney Frank is? How many of my guests here tonight listening to this show do not know who Barney Frank is? And I said to her, I said, you know, you're a typical citizen, a person who's going about their business, living their lives, as best they can, and they have no idea what's going on in the world outside the little bubble that they live in, the little sewing circle that they live in, their circle of friends, what they're doing. They have no idea. And I think this is true of a lot of people. They have no idea what's going on in the country. How do you not know who Barney Frank is? Well, because you're busy. You don't have a lot of time for what's going on in the world. And I think I can understand that to a certain extent. I do. But come on. Not only that, Southern Sense is in the house. But Barney Frank's boyfriend, there was a terrible scandal a few years back where Barney Frank's boyfriend was selling sex out of Barney Frank's own house. Now, but you don't know who Barney Frank is. I know a lot of people who don't know a lot of what's going on, but they swear to God that Obama's doing a great job. And I'll ask him many times, well, what's he doing? What's he doing that's so great? Which policies do you approve of so strongly that you think that he's doing a great job? They can't cite a single one. They can't. It's not possible. Most of the people who agree with President Obama and think that he's doing a great job have no idea exactly what policies he's putting into play and what he's doing. They don't know. They can't tell you. It's a sad state of affairs when you follow a person blindly because they're somewhat attractive and they wear a decent suit. And it just so happens that he's black and he speaks well. He's articulate. He articulates. An intelligent black man. Why do you want to put him down? Why do you want to put our president down? Or as most black people call him, the prez. Why you just want to say bad things about the prez? Aren't you black? Don't you know your history? Yeah, I kind of do. I do know my history. And I tell you what, the prez is destroying this great country. But they don't see it that way. They want something for nothing. Think about this. The Republican Party was started by a group of old white guys back in 1858, 1859, who were against slavery, who wanted to abolish slavery. They were people who had no love at all for slavery at all, none. Oh, yeah, it was initially the Whig Party or the Whig Party, which morphed into a variety of different parties and ultimately became the Republican Party. But there's one thing that these old white guys had in 1858, and that was that they were against slavery. They wanted to abolish slavery. No love for it whatsoever. And at the very least, they vehemently opposed slavery being extended to territories that were part of the Louisiana Purchase and the land that was won from the war with Mexico, California, Nevada, and so on. And yet, we have black folks today who are Democrats. Now, Southern Democrats back in 1858, 59 and 60, they were the ones who were for slavery. It was all about slavery. They fought a war and disbanded the Union over slavery. And yet we have black folks today walking around proudly labeling themselves as Democrats. Where is the irony in the prez being a Democrat? Where's the irony in most of my black brothers and sisters being Democrats? How ironic is it? Here's the reason why. I'll tell you right here and now. It's because the Democrats promise black folks something for nothing. The Republicans haven't promised black folks anything but the means to do things for yourself. The means to get out. 2020 is in the house. He's got to go. His show is going to start up in a few minutes, and I'm going to be there. I tell you what, that's what he wants. That's what they want. They want America to give them something for nothing. So never mind the history. Never mind the fact that the Democrat Party has always been about keeping black folks down and keeping black folks in their place all the way back to the 1800s. It's kind of like this. Let me break it down for you like this. You know that symbol on the Mercedes-Benz? The Mercedes-Benz legendary symbol. How many of you know that that symbol was designed by Adolf Hitler himself? Not a lot of you knew that, did you? Well, I take pride in knowing these useless facts. So it's kind of like this. You have a Jewish person who will go out, and I've seen it many times, and fire up the keys to a brand new Mercedes-Benz and drive that Mercedes-Benz and be proud to own it, not ever knowing that the very symbol that they look at when they're looking out of the windshield was designed by Adolf Hitler, who was a great friend of the Mercedes-Benz original, the person who started Mercedes-Benz, who started the car company. They were buddies. And since Adolf Hitler fancied himself an artist, he drew the symbol for Mercedes-Benz. How ironic is that? That you have people who are driving around in Mercedes-Benz, and each day they see the symbol, which was drawn up, created by Adolf Hitler himself. It's just like that with the Democrat Party. We've got black folks walking around who are Democrats and who are enjoying being Democrats and who are proud Democrats, who are Democrats because they get something for nothing. Never mind the history of the Democrat Party. Never mind the racism in the Democrat Party that's been going on forever, never, ever ceased. But yet, if you're a Republican like me, part of the grand old party that was put together by a group of men who opposed slavery vehemently, then somehow I'm the sellout. I am the sellout. I am the Oreo. I am the wannabe. Because I am a part of a party that opposed slavery from the jump. And I'm being called a sellout by someone who is a Democrat, who is carrying the party label of a group of people who fought a war to keep slavery, who were pro-slavery all the way up past its abolishment. In fact, the Ku Klux Klan, which was started in Pulaski, Tennessee, was made up of a group of Democrats. Democrats. Southern Baptist Democrats. Pulaski, Tennessee. The birthplace of my grandfather and his father. Does anybody ever consider the irony of what I just said? Because what I just said is the absolute truth. There is no ambiguity here. I'm not speaking opinion or anything like that. So the irony of this whole situation, it's maddening. It's as if the whole world has gone crazy. Now, I have mentioned this fact to many of my so-called friends, my black brothers and sisters, and of course they skirt the issue. They'll say that, hey, Democrats are for the black people. Democrats care about us. They care. Why would you give a damn whether or not a party, a group of people care about you? Have black people become so screwed up that we need other people, a party, a political party to care about us so we'll get some free stuff. So we'll get our houses for free or our cars for free. Oh, yes. Oh, of course, we deserve it, right? Because our ancestors suffered through 400 years of slavery. When is it going to be 450 years or 475 or 500 years? It's always been 400 years for as long as I can remember. Oh, but because they suffered, we deserve something for free. We deserve something for nothing. Not at all. We did not suffer a bit of slavery. We did not suffer even remotely any of the indignities of slavery here in this generation or even the one before this one. Yet there are black folks who are going around saying that we deserve this. We deserve something. We deserve reparations. Reparations. Because of the indignities that my great-great-grandfather suffered. I submit to you right here and now that my great-great-grandfather, I can't speak for yours, certainly wouldn't want me to get something that I did not earn. Oh, but they'll say, well, he earned it. You're doing it for him. He suffered. He would be proud of you if you got reparations in his name and his honor. I don't think so. That's not how we roll with the Jones clan and the Phelps clan. We don't roll that way. We take what we earn, and we're proud of it. There are those out there who say we need reparations. We need to get our fair share. Why isn't Obama giving us our reparations? He's giving you your reparations, all right. It's called 17 percentage points of unemployment. That's what your black president did for you. You go out, you talk up the guy, you talk like he's Jesus Christ, FDR, and Lincoln all rolled into one, and black people are suffering worse than they did under Bush, Clinton, Bush again, and even Carter, Ronald Reagan. Black people are suffering more now than they ever did since the Great Depression. Yet all of this is being ignored. And that clown, that skinny little big-eared clown, is being treated like a rock star. So we fast forward now to the Occupy Wall Street OWS mob. Here they have wealthy visitors, Michael Moore, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins, Kanye West, Alec Baldwin, and of course Al Sharpton, all visiting. Nobody's spreading any money around. Nobody's making it rain. Make it rain, Kanye. Make it rain, Michael Moore. Just stand up on top of one of those big old Wall Street buildings and make it rain. If that's the case, show it. Put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is and make it rain on Wall Street. All you got to do is go to the bank, take out a couple million dollars here or there, and just go to the top of the building and toss it over the side. Show us that you're down with OWS. If you're down with OWS, make it rain. All right, you've been listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I want to thank all my listeners. You guys are great.
When you walk through the garden,
have a great night.
You gotta watch your back.
Go. GGG, Billy, Casanova Frankenstein, Evil Clown, I hate that name, Beach Bomb, Billy, Southern Sense, thank you guys for being here, you guys are great, I love you, I hope you have a great night, Tesla, the Binary Prince, Swing Easy, Republican Marine, Pendleton Marine, Ned King, Miami Marine Times, John Galt, thank you guys, I hope you have a great evening. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. We'll be back tomorrow. Good night, folks.
mighty sword, and they shield you with their wings, keep you close to the Lord. Don't pay heed to temptation, for his hands are so cold.